91.1 WHFC on your dial, and don't you change it, because, well, finances are on everyone's minds these days. Whether it's bills at home and student debts accrued over the years, and when you're a new student preparing for college, it can be a daunting task. Or maybe you're that older student and you're planning your return to college. You're going to want to tune in to this episode, because there's ways for you, yes, you, to prepare to go back to school. You're on the Owl's Nest here on WHFC Presents, and I have Amy Spinato, the Director for Financial Aid here at Hartford Community College. Amy, it's always a pleasure when you join me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
A lot to talk about.
Sure is.
So, FAFSA. Delayed.
It is. So normally the FAFSA would open on October 1, but it is delayed until sometime in December. We do not have a date yet, so stay tuned, and we would love to come back when we know when the FAFSA for 2024-25 will open. And that's the FAFSA for students that plan on attending for fall of 2024. For those high school seniors that are graduating, that would be the FAFSA that they would complete.
And maybe sometime in December, maybe?
It will be. It will be by December 31st.
Well, there's a little bit of a delay there for the FAFSA, for you listening at home or wherever you're listening. But don't worry, when it comes around, we're going to get that information out there to you. So, Amy, FAFSA, even though it's delayed, still a very important way to pay for college. And it's a factor in being able to afford education. So let's say I'm starting fresh. Where do I begin?
Where you begin is by doing something called an FSA ID. The FAFSA is an online form, so whether you're waiting for that FAFSA to open for 24-25, or whether you're thinking of attending for spring, that FAFSA is still available. The 23-24 FAFSA is not delayed, so if you're thinking about coming to college for the spring term in January, you certainly can still do that 2023-24 FAFSA at studentaid.gov. But your question was, where would you start? You would create something called an FSA ID.
Okay.
And so basically the student would log on, you would go to the studentaid.gov website, and you would go in and you would create a username and password, and that's how you would electronically sign that form. If you are a student who's under 24 and generally a dependent student, then your parent would also need to also get an FSA ID. But we have instructions, and we can help students and families apply for those. And we'll actually be going out to the high schools in Harford County, and we're happy to assist those students and those parents at our high school nights with that process.
You led right into my very next question. Always something going on in the Department of Finances here at Hartford Community College. And getting to high schoolers early on, it's very important. It's a really crucial time for young people. A lot of big decisions being made. And you've got some really great high school FAFSA nights coming up soon, right?
We do. They start October 10th, and they're going to run through November. We're going to be going to Hartford County Public School High School. Some of the schools will partner up. There is information on our website. I believe that Hartford County Public Schools will be sending information. There is our RSVP process, so that way we can send reminders to students. But certainly, families are available to come. So that starts again October 10th. They're normally starting at 6:30 in the evening. They last an hour plus. And the first event's going to be at Edgewood High School. The invites go out for that particular event for Joppatown Edgewood, but really anybody in the whole community can attend that specific event. But we have events October 10th, 17th. Then we have events in November. Yeah, and then in February, we'll also have something when the FAFSA forms actually open. We'll actually have completion events. So this events in October and November are more informational events. We'll actually talk about what questions are on the form, how to complete. And so that's where we'll start with the process.
And it's crucial to start early, too, right? Because the sooner you apply for aid, the better chance that you have for it.
Correct. And so we are definitely encouraging families now, even if they're going to be starting in the fall, and even though the FAFSA is not open for 24-25, to get that FSA ID. And not only is there federal financial aid, there's Maryland state financial aid. So we're also going to encourage that families look at the Maryland Higher Education Commission's website and create an account through them as well. The FAFSA is the main application, but that is something that we will go into detail during our financial aid night. So yes, start early.
Yeah, absolutely, because the early bird gets the worm, so to speak.
I think so. And we have institutional scholarships too. We have the wonderful tuition and fees scholarship, the Alfred C. O'Connell Scholarship for graduating high school seniors. That application is going to become available, I believe, technically it's October 15th, but we're going to open it up early. It's going to be available October 1st. And so that information is available online, and basically the student needs to be a Hartford Community College applicant. They need to apply for admission to the college. They can apply for this tuition and fee scholarship. It is merit-based, so there is a GPA requirement, and there are a few other steps, but it's a wonderful opportunity to help get their tuition and fees, assistance with tuition and fees.
Right, and why not, right?
Why not?
Because you're here, and if your grades are good, go ahead, apply for it. What's the worst that can happen?
Correct. And that's the same thing with the FAFSA, and I'm glad you brought that up. We have been running a series of events over the past, I would say, 15 weeks, 15 FAFSA myths. There's so many people. I had a call today from someone who said that they didn't complete the FAFSA because they thought they made too much money. Huh. Well, you still need to do the form if you're looking for loan possibilities or even some scholarships. Whether you attend Hartford or someplace else, institutions aren't really going to be looking to give their institutional funds unless you've made an application.
So, right. Yeah.
So, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Exactly.
Do the form.
And even if you do think you make too much money, you know, if you can find ways to pay for college, because, I mean, that really is. It's the gateway. Both know it's the gateway to finding, you know, better life, better pay. And who doesn't want that?
Everybody wants that. And that's one of the things why the FAFSA is delayed. I'm not sure if I got into that. So the 24-25 FAFSA is delayed until December because of something called FAFSA simplification. There's less questions on the FAFSA, but they also say that more students are going to be eligible for the federal Pell Grant. So if there's a chance that you might be eligible, it's really important that you actually do the application. I always say don't leave money on the table. So it's really important that they actually take the time to complete the application.
Now that FSA ID.
Yes.
Now, let's say I'm a returning student. I'm not starting off fresh. Does that FSA ID, does that follow me my whole life?
It does. The FSA ID does follow you, but there is going to be a change. So if the student is a married student, their spouse will actually need to get an FSA ID now. And if the student is a dependent student and their parents file taxes separately, that second parent will need to give an FSA ID. So that's a little bit into the weeds, but the student's FSA ID will follow them for life. And that one parent that may already have an FSA ID, that will follow them. But there may be some additional people that now need to get an FSA ID because of this new FAFSA process.
Even if they do go into the weeds, that's why you and all the team at the Financial Aid Department at HCC are there.
That's why we are here, to assist, to answer questions.
To cut those weeds down.
That's correct. And we might be learning together in some cases, but that's what we're here for.
Well, there's always changes, you know.
Correct.
You know, it always keeps you on your toes.
It does.
So it sounds like the Financial Aid Department always busy, always got something going on. And one thing, now that I've become older, financial literacy, so important. And I wish when I was younger, I had the tools and resources available to me. But HCC really is, it's bringing these to the table here, to the community. There's things like banking basics, credit 101. I mean, these are real usable skill builder workshops, right?
They absolutely are. And we're going to be doing a series of workshops in October, and then we're going to have a larger event in November. And I believe they're 1 hour workshops, and they generally run from 12 to 1. We play games like Kahoot. It's really going to be a lot of fun, a fun way to learn about financial literacy.
Kahoot.
Yes, Kahoot.
Kahoot.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, the name itself sounds fun. You had me at Kahoot.
I know. It sounds like what Al would say.
Kahoot. Well, you are on the Owl's Nest if you're just tuning in, talking with the Director of Financial Services here at Hartford Community College, Amy Spinato. And, you know, one thing I'm really interested in, And this is kind of maybe a more personal level. I'm thinking about going after my master's degree, but I still have a little bit of student debt left over. Can I still apply for FAFSA while having some student debt? Will there be a difference in the amount I receive?
You absolutely can still apply if you still have remaining eligibility. There are different caps for undergraduate versus graduate.
Okay.
As long as you're not in default of a student loan. But there's so many repayment programs right now that if you're not sure where you stand, you can actually use a group that the college, we actually pay for a service called ECMC, and you can find more information on our website. You can also find information on studentaid.gov if you're not sure who your loan servicer is. And they can help break down what some of your eligibility may be. Or if you are, I'm not saying that anybody is, but if there are people out there that are behind on their payments, we can direct you, or they can direct you what some of your options may be. So yes, you can still owe on your loans, and you can still go out and continue to get a great education.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Here at HCC. You know, one thing that I think everyone's eyes were on was with the government and the student debt relief program out there. That was a big thing. Seems to have kind of died on the vine. We don't know yet. You know, it's always kind of up in the air. Do we know any kind of word?
Well, what's happening is that they're doing different legislative changes. So they're changing some of the repayment plans. And so there's something called the SAVE program, and there's a 12-month on-ramp. So students' interest start accruing in September. Payments start in October. Again, the organization I mentioned, ECMC, can actually help students, you know, if they're having problems with making those payments. But the 12-month on-ramp I mentioned, if students are having problems with their payments, they're not going to be reported to credit agencies. But again, the interest is still accruing. So there are some options for students, and they can go learn more about the SAVE program at studentaid.gov. But it's a way for students to actually get down their loan payments. So there are cases where students could possibly cut down their loan payment in half. Now,
wow.
If someone's a higher earner, they might want to stay with their current payment plan. But there's all sorts of information that is available through ECMC and through the studentaid.gov website. I will say that if you would call the federal processor, there's a huge wait on the phones. So we would recommend using ECMC, which is our organization, or actually even going on yourself to studentaid.gov, and the students would use their FSA ID to log in and to see who their loan servicer is. And they can always contact our office, and we can give them some direction. We actually did send out notifications at least twice to students to remind them that these loans were going to go into repayment.
And that's such a huge thing, having those kinds of repayment options, because if you're that beginning student and you don't know, there are ways based on your income for you to repay your student loans.
It's very overwhelming, and we do this every day.
Right.
And so, again, we can help break it down. There's many options for students, and the students just need to figure out what the best option for them is.
But at the very same time, when loan servicers change, you know, it gives a little bit, you know, a funny feeling, like, well, why did you change? But that is kind of normal, isn't it, for a student loan debt to kind of change hands from one to another?
It could be, but if you have any questions about that, it's always best for you to log into studentaid.gov to check and see what the system of record is showing as your loan servicer. You know, if you have any questions, you know, it's always better to be hesitant.
Yeah.
Again, you shouldn't be paying for anybody to help you get assistance. We pay a fee for the organization like ECMC to assist students. So as you mentioned, there is loan forgiveness in public service sector. There are things that are going on. So there are programs for students who are in default to help them get back to school. So there are just so many options that the Department of Education is trying to do to help our students, you know, continue on with their education.
Totally right. That's something I forgot about. If you are in the public sector, right, and you are, you know, doing community services, there is that student loan forgiveness. And having that kind of eligibility, you know, that could be life-changing. You know, it could be the difference between going after your master's or your doctorate.
Mm-hmm. And the state of Maryland also offered some programs in regards to, reduction or different, I don't want to say necessarily forgiveness, but there were different programs that were available. So
there's relief if you
there
look.
There is relief.
So there's relief if you look hard enough, whether you're that returning student or if you're just starting fresh for the first time. Don't be afraid. We have folks here at Hartford Community College that will help you navigate through these rather dense and involved complex topics here. Now, I do want to touch on this, and it's in November. You mentioned it's the Financial Reality Fair. This is a big deal. I mean, this is education for students about affording the essentials of life, how to finance a car, how to plan your monthly budget. When and where are we doing this? I know it's in November.
We're doing it in November in the Student Center, the second floor. It's the level where admissions and financial aid and our advising office is located. I believe the time is 11 to 1:30. There'll be more information. Flyers will be sent through the Student Affairs Communication and will be posted on ALNET. It is from 11:30 to 1 p.m. on November 8th in the Student Center. So, yes, it's going to be a great day. I hear it's actually the same day that the Thanksgiving luncheon is for students. So we might have some competition, but it's the same building. We'll be upstairs. You can have some lunch, and you can bring your lunch upstairs and join us. So it'll be a lot of fun. We're hoping for a crowd.
Grab a bite to eat and then, you know, learn some real true to life skills here at Hartford Community College that are going to follow you for a lifetime. Being able to manage your money, being able to pay for things, making money work for you. You know, that's what it's all about.
The game of life.
Exactly. The game of life. But making it work for you. These are the kinds of tools, though, that we're bringing to you at Hartford Community College. So students, please, I hope you're listening, because these kinds of real life experiences are what college is all about, and learning how to make your money work for you, that's half the battle right there. That, in fact, nowadays that's a little bit more than half the battle. And Amy, you'll be there to help them every step of the way.
We will be.
Now, one thing that I do want to bring up next is another great event. You're going to be there. It's the Fall Open House.
Yes.
October 7th. We're gearing up for that also at WHFC. It's another great resource for FAFSA literacy, the financial aid department, always there at the open house. What's the plan for October 7th?
So we're getting all of our materials together now. So I had mentioned Maryland Higher Education Commission regarding state aid and students getting accounts for that. So we're going to hopefully have literature on how to create an account, something called MD Caps. We're actually going to have worksheets available for those families that actually want to know how to create an FSA ID. And it's a worksheet that you keep so that you remember what you created, what your username was, and what your password was. We won't be presenting this year. There's a lot going on in that event, but we're going to be there to answer questions, and we're going to be there to answer questions about the Maryland Community College Promise Scholarship, which is another tuition and fee program.
Okay.
And that's for Maryland residents and for students that live in Harford County. They can attend Harford Community College, depending if they meet certain income requirements. And the good thing about the Maryland Community College Promise Program is now it doesn't require that you're full-time anymore.
Oh.
You can actually be part-time. So part-time is 6 to 11 credits, but also still full-time, 12 credits. And I believe that non-credit, you know, is included.
Really?
It has been included, but there's going to be more of a push for that as well. So the state of Maryland is really on point in regards to funding for students, and it's a very generous program. We've had students now for years graduating, you know, receiving tuition fees through the state of Maryland through this Promise program. So we'll be answering questions regarding that, and that does require a FAFSA. So that's why we're going to talk about creating FSA ID, reminding families that the FAFSA opens in December, and information on the MD Caps account, which is the account for the Maryland Higher Education Commission.
And that's life-changing. Because, I mean, the amount of student aid that you get through FAFSA really is dependent, you know, are you full-time versus half-time or even less than part-time? You know, so what could be better than a scholarship that can help you doesn't even matter, you know, what your enrollment status is. Some people are working mothers and fathers, you know, they need that flexibility. They can't do full time. You know, they have to do only, you know, part time. So having something like that, that really is, that can be life changing.
In October, I mentioned that the Alfred C. O'Connell Scholarship, tuition fee scholarship for high school seniors is going to be opening. But we have, if you're going to be attending in the spring, we have our Award Spring Scholarships opening, which basically is just for our current students. That application is going to be opening as well early October. So we just want to make sure that students are applying for scholarships, because I think you said earlier, all you can do is apply or ask, and all can happen is you're not awarded or somebody says no.
Right.
So we really want to encourage that students, maybe they applied last spring for fall and maybe didn't get something, please complete an application for the spring scholarship cycle. It officially opens October 15th, but I think we were going to open it up early on October 1.
Okay.
And so, again, go to Alnet, All About Me, click on Apply for Scholarships, and that will take you to a link called Award Spring. I'm just letting you know what it's called, so you know that you're at the right place. So it's really an easy process, and it could open your door for other opportunities. And it could be for scholarships for all different types of registration. It's not all full-time registration.
Okay.
It could be for part-time. It could be for quarter-time. So a variety of different opportunities available.
Different opportunities. That's, you know, what we're here for at Hartford Community College. Depending upon where you are in life, hopefully we have a scholarship that's going to meet where you are.
We're hoping.
And so these scholarships, very easy to get to them. And it sounds like when the FAFSA opens back up, Amy, it's less questions, right?
It is.
It's a little bit easier to process.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. It's easier for students, yes.
Easier for students.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, why not take advantage of these financial resources? They're literally right at your fingertips, you know, they're right there in front of you. So please take advantage of them. And if they have questions, and students always have questions, you know, whether you're that prospective student or if, let's say, you're, you know, coming fresh here at Hartford Community College for the first year, how can they get in contact with you?
So they can come into our office. We're located in the Student Center, the second level. We would love to see you. They can start a live chat either through our website or through the Alnet portal on the All About Me tab. They can email us at finaid@hartford.edu. They can call us at 443-412-2257. So lots of ways for them to reach us. Again, we love students coming into our office. We're here to assist. They can talk to us at the open house, at the high school nights. They're just come to our financial literacy events. Anybody who's listening to this show today, again, you might not be a Hartford Community College student yet, but you can certainly come to these events. And so we want you to.
They're open to the public.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the community in Hartford Community College. You know, we are here for you, Hartford. I really want to thank you, Amy, for coming on to the Owl's Nest, giving us so much great information. If you're listening, and please, this is going to be archived for podcasts later on. So there's so many different types of financial literacy seminars going on. We're going to have an open house. So many resources at your fingertips, Hartford. So check them all out. You've been listening to the Owl's Nest here on 91.1 WHFC. Listening to that sound, it's time for us to scoot. I want to thank Amy Spinato, again, the Director for Financial Services here at Hartford Community College. Amy, when FAFSA comes around, we want to have you back on again.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.